breaking down every single angle of the upcoming 5-game road trip these Phoenix Suns are facing, starting with the big question: can Cameron Johnson keep his hot play going, coming off the bench, going on the road? And what do we learn about this team as they make their way through this road trip? We'll break all of it down on Locked On Suns.
Network, your team every day.
We are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Brendan Kleen, a credentialed media member covering the Suns the past 5 seasons, a contributor at Suns.com, as well as Dime Magazine. Thank you for making Locked On Suns your first listen every single day. Thank you for finding us on your favorite podcast platform to start your morning and for helping us grow the YouTube channel, which brings us to a big announcement. We got to 750 subscribers, which means this towel I've been waving in front of you guys for weeks, if not months, is yours. One of yours. Please go ahead, go to the video on YouTube right below here, comment with your name, just drop a comment, drop a friendly note, and I will use those subscribers. If you subscribe and I see that you comment, you will be put into the drawing. You can also tweet at LockedOnPHXSuns to confirm that you are subscribed with just a quick screenshot showing that, or email me or whatever. Just send me proof either in the comment section or directly that you have subscribed to the YouTube channel, and I will do a random drawing out of all the people who do that, and whoever wins will get that towel sent directly to them. So, a huge thank you to helping us meet that milestone. 1,000 is firmly in my sights now, and I will not shut up about it until we get there. Kelly Oubre, the bobblehead could be yours if you go ahead and help us out. So if you're just finding us on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. If you are usually just an audio listener, do us a big favor, do me a big favor, and go over to YouTube. I'm sure you have an account. Everybody has a Google account. And just hit that subscribe button to get us a little closer to that goal. But that is all there. Let's get to this road trip. We're going to do it a few different ways here. I want to start with Cameron Johnson. I think that's my main storyline that I'm keyed in on as the Suns hit the road here for the next 5 games, but really, almost 2 weeks before they'll have another home game. Exactly 2 weeks from that Heat game over the weekend until their next game, January 22nd, at home against Indiana. So quite a long time, 5 games in there, a lot of different types of opponents. So we'll cover all of the different ground. I want to just kind of talk about what is at stake and some of the interesting matchup things. And then I'm going to predict the headlines that we will see, because when you see NBA games where the two teams don't play each other very often, there's some wackiness that can come up. There's some rivalry stuff coming up in this road trip. So that'll be a fun way to close out the show. But let's hit Cameron Johnson here, because over the weekend against the Heat was his first time coming off the bench in a while. Now that Jay Crowder is back in the lineup, recovered from COVID and ready to go, I think there was some potential, some quiet potential, like, you know, maybe Monty would consider Cameron Johnson. I didn't think it would happen immediately. I think Crowder has more than earned that starting spot, but it at least gave Monty and the coaching staff in general a little bit of perspective on, hey, this is what it'll look like with Cam in here with the starters for an extended period of time, and did not go half bad. Of course, it went very, very well most of the time. So maybe we see it eventually, but for the foreseeable future, Cam Johnson is going to be coming off the bench. And I think it's fair to wonder what it will look like and if he can continue to be such an impactful player like he has been. So to that point, how successful he has been, how effective he has been, as a starter in 6 games this season, I believe all of those were during the Crowder absence. I don't remember Cam starting any games while Crowder was healthy, and Mikhail has not missed any games. So unless I'm going crazy here, those 6 games were all during Crowder's absence just this past couple of weeks. And Cam was off the charts. 18 points per game, 6 rebounds per game. He had a plus 32 net rating. He was a plus 14 and just pure plus minus averaged per night. So the Suns on average, just over the course of his minutes every night, the plus minus category, he was giving them a boost of plus 14 when he was out there during his starts. And he shot 55% from the field, 50% from three, and 90% from the free throw line, although that was admittedly a pretty small sample, just 9 of 10 from the line, nothing crazy. With all of that said, I don't necessarily feel like he's the type of player who necessarily needs that, needs the rhythm of starting. He's obviously on this streak right now of multiple threes made in a game. He's at 22 or 23 now. In that streak, it's the longest in the NBA. It's quite frankly incredible, in my opinion. Like, I know we've all kind of been talking about it, but I feel like it's sort of getting looked over as sort of a cute type of like, oh yeah, that's the cam streak. But like, really zoom out and just think about how difficult that is to do. But it also, obviously, it shows that the guy has rhythm, and it's there whether or not he starts, because that streak is quite a bit longer than just the six games that he started, plus this past one where he came off the bench. That's only seven games. So for many weeks, many games at least, before Crowder ever had COVID, Cam was on this streak and was starting to really come alive. I think he's had a great season from start to finish, honestly, but obviously he really took it to another level when he was starting. So maybe you should expect, in this first game back, he was 3 of 10 from deep. I think he was 5 of 15 overall from the field. Did not necessarily make himself look spectacular. And so maybe we should expect a bit of a step back, because obviously from a pure like counting stat perspective, he's not going to pile up numbers if he's playing fewer minutes. That's pretty obvious. Maybe, I don't think the shooting will really go down. I mean, maybe here and there, if he's not playing with the starters as often, maybe some of his shots aren't quite as clean if they're not coming from Chris Paul. I don't really know, though, because he has shot 42% from deep this season. And yes, the two-point percentage is not as good off the bench as a starter or versus as a starter. I don't really think there's anything to that, but nevertheless, it is there. I will just say that, in my opinion, Cam Johnson will continue to be pretty excellent. He doesn't have much of a difference between home versus road. He's been 43% from deep on the road, 44% at home, plus 9 net rating on the road, plus 16 net rating at home. I'm just not inclined to believe there's going to be much of a drop off from that perspective. So, you know, sometimes shooters, you say they shoot better at home, but he is like cliche proof, I think you could say, as a shooter, where none of those silly things apply to Cam Johnson, in my opinion. So that is where we stand. Maybe he takes a little bit of a hit. His counting stats will obviously go down, but I think his minutes will be up there. I think Monty will continue to trust him to play with the starters. We might even see him close some games, and I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to pull this full circle that he maybe gets a look in that starting lineup eventually, because Jay Crowder has not really had that hot streak that we're used to seeing balance his numbers out. He's been fairly inefficient all season, at least as a shooter. He has broadened his game out a bit, and he does have the defensive course, but I think we could see Cam maybe swing back into that starting lineup. Probably not in the next five games, though. The season is very long. There's a lot to come, but I think we'll learn some things from this road trip. So I want to break it down really game by game here in just a second, but one of the other things that we will learn about over the course of the next few weeks is who in the heck in the NFL is for real. We still don't really know. It seems very wide open, and that makes for a very fun time betting. BetOnline.ag, the sponsor of today's show, would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we make our way into 2022 and all of the busy sports calendar cycles that go with it. It's a new year and a new updated desktop and mobile website for the folks over at BetOnline. So go over to it, betonline.ag on the web, or of course, BetOnline on your app store. Make an account today, and when you do, use the promo code LOCKEDON when you make your first deposit to get a 50% welcome bonus. That's promo code Locked On when you make your first deposit to get a 50% welcome bonus straight to your account. From the regular season, the rest of the way in basketball, maybe you're looking ahead to college basketball already, and then, of course, football, hockey, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. BetOnline has it all, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. The Suns are already in Toronto for Tuesday night's game, 5:30 local tip, and the first of five games here on this road trip. So we haven't had one like this, really, in terms of faraway lands and pretty extensive amount of time. The last road trip the Suns really had was four games, and it was 9 days. So this is longer by one game and a few extra days. The Toronto trip, they built some cushion in, so they don't play again after Tuesday until Friday. And so this is going to be, you know, a bigger road test than we've really seen from this team yet. And it's a good time to dive into it. So I want to start with some of sort of the broader like trends and things to watch for here. And then we'll do the guess the headline segment, which I think will be a lot of fun here. So first off, the Suns are going to be in a bizarre situation against the Raptors because you might have heard Toronto is not letting any fans into their arena. They're also, Canada as a country, not letting unvaccinated visitors into their country. So we're back to the bubble. We're back to last season in a lot of ways with the Raptors right now. The Suns, being a fully vaccinated team, didn't have to deal with any of that, although Ish Wainwright is in the protocol, the latest addition, unfortunately, for the Suns. But everybody at least is able to make the trip. There will not be any fans. So that in and of itself is a little bit of a strange game. I also think we've seen the Suns struggle with teams that have size. So that includes the Grizzlies, I think most recently. The Clippers didn't have much of a problem beating the Clippers in the most recent game. But of course, when Paul George was healthy, and of course last year's Western Conference Finals, those types of teams make, you know, make some things difficult for the Suns because Chris Paul does not have that size that you necessarily want. Jay Crowder can lose some of those matchups from a size perspective. So that'll be really interesting to me. On the road in a weird environment, first time they've seen the Raptors all year. That team just is so versatile and big and unique and physical. So I'm interested to see that game in a lot of ways. Indiana should not be too much of a problem. Detroit should not be too much of a problem. The other two games, though, to close it out, they come back kind of toward Phoenix on the way home, and they play San Antonio and then Dallas. And that San Antonio game is as big a trap game as I think you could possibly imagine. Fourth game of a road trip. You're already starting to think about coming home on Thursday night after the Dallas game, and you have your sights set on maybe you're already thinking about the Utah game. But most importantly, you are in a very weird situation where you play this early matinee game on Sunday and in Detroit. Then you fly to San Antonio. You have a back-to-back against a frisky team that always tends to be a pain in the butt for you in the Spurs. And I can definitely see that one being unreasonably difficult for the Suns. So that one will definitely be one to watch. The Spurs obviously played the Suns really tough early December when they played 108-104, if you remember that one. And then closing out a nationally televised game against the Dallas Mavericks. And the Suns always tend to play really well against Dallas. They will have a two-day delay. So the good thing about this road trip overall, guys, is the travel is not too bad. Yes, there's that back-to-back Detroit and San Antonio, but you do have a little bit of that extra time, at least, being that you play the Pistons early, and then you fly to San Antonio, and you have like 24 full hours between landing the plane and actually playing the next game. But you also have two days, Wednesday and Thursday of this week between games, and then that San Antonio-Dallas week, you have Tuesday and Wednesday off as well for the Suns. So in that regard, it's good, but Dallas is going to be a tough test. That game without Luka was pretty, two games without Luka were fairly close, closer than I expected personally, and Jalen Brunson is a difficult cover for the Suns because it's these teams with two ball handlers that really are a little bit of a test for the Suns, because Luka will be guarded primarily by Mikal Bridges, and then it's, you know, who guards Brunson, who guards Tim Hardaway. When the Mavericks are really clicking and their sort of drive and kick stuff is going well, they're tough to guard, and the Suns especially don't really have, they have Mikal, and then they kind of have to be, you know, by committee and by scheme to guard some of the other stuff that they'll see. So that one stands out to me. The last game of a road trip, the last game of a long road trip is always tough. The first game back is always tough, which will be Indiana again. Very bizarre to play the Pacers twice in a week, but the NBA is doing a little bit more of that lately. So not the most difficult collection of teams. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say this is a really, really brutal test. The Suns don't really have one of those. They are fortunate to catch a lot of the East Coast teams that they do have to play on some, you know, quick up and back type of thing, more so than a lot of them in a row. They have a road trip in early February that, you know, they have Chicago and Philly in there, but, you know, they don't have like a Nets, Heat, Chicago, Sixers, Bucks, like something like that where it's just a murderer's row. They really don't. So this one will test them just because travel is crappy, and you don't want to, you know, take, you can't lose any of these games is really the bottom line. I mean, that was the name of the game in yesterday's show, coming off of that weekend loss to the Heat that I was really harping on to start the week on Monday's podcast, was look, the Western Conference one seed race is just really tight, and you can't let up. You can't give up ground there. So that'll be the case with these five games as well. But that's enough serious talk. Let's close the show out with guessing the headlines. What will people, for better or worse, be talking about as the Suns make their march across the next couple of weeks here through this road trip? We'll talk about that in just a second. First, though, a quick break. All right, this is always a fun game to do. I actually have to tip my hat to Bickley and Murata. They were one of the people that I thought always had the most fun with it. I'm not sure if they do it anymore on the morning show over on Arizona Sports, but they would do it with the NFL calendar on Friday afternoons, just guessing what the headlines on Monday would be based on the results of that week's games. And it's fun. And I think this particular road trip gives us a lot of, it's actually probably not even headlines anymore, is it? It's probably like guess the Bleacher Report tweets or something. It would be more accurate to say. But whatever we want to call it, let's dive in here. So Toronto, I already said, it's something like, if I was writing a headline, if the Arizona Republic happened to lead the paper with Suns Raptors, it would be something like, if the Suns lose, I don't think they will, but I actually think that it's going to be a more difficult game than probably Toronto's record would indicate. It would be like empty arena, empty effort, or something like that. Because I do think the Suns are still getting used to, these players are still going to be getting used to, you know, their conditioning and getting back on the floor. Like, I think it's no joke the level of time that Crowder and McGee and Ayton missed. And as kind of grim as it is, JaVale McGee has asthma. And so we talk about a lot of these guys sort of getting their legs under them, getting that, you know, stamina and lung capacity back up if they did have any sort of impact on that stuff when they had COVID. And McGee, like, come on, like, you got to give the guy major patience, I think, just to deal with that. So going up to this weird empty arena again in Toronto, playing a team that's just a pain in the butt, very athletic, very mostly young too, I think could be difficult. All right, Indiana, there will absolutely be TJ Warren talk. There was an update on his recovery, and he is injured still and doesn't seem close to returning. Maybe on Twitter we will see, this will not be from a prestigious organization like Bleacher Report, but some of you fans probably on Twitter, something about TJ Warren faking quote-unquote, allegedly, faking the knee injury his last season in Phoenix when he just did not want to play here anymore, and accusing him of faking this one. I think that's not below you guys. I've seen you guys on Twitter. You like to have some fun. You like to mix things up, and it's all right. I get it. TJ did not necessarily earn any fans during his time here. He did not always handle himself necessarily the way that we might have liked him to. I get it. Detroit, I don't know. If the Suns lose it again, it'll be a little bit of a trend of these early morning games, but it's Boston and Detroit, which are not exactly like really jumping downtowns or like club districts in those cities, at least to my knowledge. Like, Boston's a big city. I've been there a couple of times. That's not a place where you're renowned for just the general chaos and, you know, ritzy, glitzy, whatever. So I don't know if that's why the Suns lost there on New Year's Eve. But look, if they lose back-to-back East Coast games early in the day, I guess it'll start to be a pattern. The Spurs is an easy one. It's just San Antonio continuing to be a thorn in the side of the Suns. And I do think that one, I actually do predict a loss. I do predict a loss, so maybe it's popped or something like that. I don't know. I don't know. And then the Mavericks. This one is definitely going to inevitably bring back the 2018 draft. There's going to be talk about Ayton not... This one is... It's not headlines. It's the freaking plot lines and storylines that the TNT broadcast will pick up on. So there will definitely be talk of the 2018 draft and rehashing the number one pick there with Luka and Ayton. There will definitely, as a result of that, be talk of the max versus no max. I do think the Suns have been on... They were on TNT against the Clippers just last week, and yet they will never be tired of that storyline. I don't know. No. I was going to say there might be some comparisons with the investigations, but I don't. Unless those things happen the day of a game, ESPN and TNT don't touch those things with a 10-foot pole. So never mind on that one. That's probably not going to be a headline. Probably for the best. I don't always feel like game broadcasts are the best time to talk about that stuff. And then you will definitely get Charles Barkley giving his 2 cents there and propping up the Suns as he did all of last season. Maybe you'll even get another Charles Barkley soundbite to be used during the pregame pump-up videos. I think that's definitely within play. It's his opportunity to talk up the Suns. The Clippers game wasn't much of a contest, really, so the Dallas game probably will be a little closer, and we get to hear, and it's the early game, so Barkley won't be sleepy by that point. I think that could be fun. And I mean, guys, like, closing this thing out here, I think the real deal is the fact that this is leading into the Jazz games. I'm going to continue to circle those and to highlight them. And actually, I think I got it backwards. I think I said that the first one was on the road and the second one was at home, but that's actually flipped. So the Suns do have a couple of games at home, that Pacers game, and then it goes right into at home versus Utah and then in Salt Lake City against the Jazz on that Wednesday. So a lot of interesting storylines and narratives and basketball things to be paying attention to. So maybe not the most glitzy version of these teams. I know it might be some ugly blowouts by the Suns. That's plenty of fun, but not always the most fascinating thing to pay attention to. But stick right here with me. We'll go through each and every one of these together, guys, and I'm excited. We're making our way to the trade deadline. We're making our way to the playoffs slowly but surely, crossing the halfway point in no time, and it's been another fun year so far, and I'm excited to keep going. So enjoy your Tuesday. Enjoy the Raptors game, and I'll be right here with you after the buzzer.